omniscient.
Yes.
So you know all things, Lord.
Yes.
He said, you're omnipresent. You're here with us, Lord.
Yes.
And you're omnipotent, which means you're all powerful, oh God. You know every heart, Lord, every soul. You know every desire, every need.
Amen.
Oh God, help us this morning, Lord. We simply need your help.
Yes.
Take a hold of the speaker, oh God, this morning. Help him to get himself out of the way.
Yes.
Lord, speak to us. Bless your word. Anoint your word. Touch every soul today, oh God, from the youngest child to the eldest adult. We pray and commit everything into your hands in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn, if we would, to our Bibles, to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Acts, chapter 2. Starting with verse 1, go to 3, Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's read. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. Amen. Praise the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated. Amen. It's good to see everyone this morning. Fine morning. We didn't get very far in the book of Acts so far, and this will be my last Sunday before we switch again. So perhaps that we can continue in the book of Acts later on in the future. But last Sunday, we were talking about the power of the Holy Ghost. And I want to take that subject a little bit further and deeper. Now, one of the saints had asked me a question regarding it. And so I very much appreciate that. And it shows that you're listening. Trust that people are listening this morning. And so it was talking, the question was regarding the born-again experience versus the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so there are places where, in the message, where it seems that they're talked about as the same thing, and sometimes they seem that they're separate. And so does anybody aware of that at all, that they've seen in the message? Okay. So, by God's grace, I'd like to go into that a little bit and show what the scriptures are talking about, what the message of the hour is talking about. We know that Brother Branham, when he talks about when there's a part of the message or the scriptures that we're not sure about, to just kind of pray about it and kind of wait on the Lord, and the Lord opens those things up. He also talks about how, to look at, he always looks at the types. So sometimes you can get caught up in the words, and so you need to look at the types to see the picture, because then sometimes you have, as he would talk about, a cow eating grass at the top of a tree. So the picture is wrong, so you know it's incorrect. And so when you look at the types throughout the scriptures, that helps as a good guiding post for us as we're trying to understand these things. And we know that we have a progressive revelation in Christ, and so meaning that when we first started out with Christ, we know less than we do now. And so as we continue walking in the Lord, God begins to reveal more and more into us and opens a picture more widely so we can see more. So the things that we knew a few years ago, we're more advanced than that. We should be more advanced than that, if we understand what I'm saying. And so by God's grace, I just want to go through the scriptures and go through the message of the hour, and it may be a little bit, try to, by God's grace, make it as clear as I can see it in the scriptures, but pray for me this morning as I do that, and it'll be kind of a little bit more focused on teaching, as going verse by verse and message by message, if you all can bear with that. Are you all good with that?
Amen.
Amen. At least I see one or two smiles this morning. Praise the Lord. Now, we were talking about in chapter 1, remember the promise was, wait until you're endued with power from on high. And so we know that that was a promise The Holy Ghost was a promise that had been waited for so many years. And so now in the book of Acts, it's made into manifestation. So there's a few scriptures now I want us to turn to. Maybe you can write it down and I can just read it and then you can study it later so we can kind of go through this fairly quickly because we don't have a lot of time. So in John chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is talking about the born again experience. So it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Verse 5 says, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." So there's two things. Cannot see the kingdom of God or understand the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And then you also must be born of water and of Spirit. Now, I'm going to kind of cut to the chase on some things and then probably try to go back to the quote so that back up what I'm saying here. But in the message, born again, you must be born again, he talks about these two distinct pieces of born of the water and born of the Spirit at the end of the message, and he says as being born of the Word and born of the Spirit, okay? Born of the Word and born of the Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 24 through 27, "For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them." So now you talk about what we understand about the message of the hour, about the stages of grace, about justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you compare that to these scriptures. So when he talks about, "I will take you out from among the heathen." So when God called you out of denominations, he called you out from the heathen, gathered you out of all countries and will bring you to your own land. "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean." Sanctification, cleaning you up. Okay? "All your filthiness and your idols, and will I cleanse you. A new heart will I also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you." So he's going to change the stony heart that you have and then put a new spirit, not his spirit, but a new spirit. So there's a difference there. So "I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit." So you see the stages, take you out, cleanse you, put a spirit, a different spirit into you, a new heart, and then I will put my spirit. So those stages of grace that he's moving into. Okay, 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. So it says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one." There's no mistake. Those three are one. They're one and the same together. "There are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one." So they're not one, but they agree in one. You understand what I'm saying? So we'll get to this here in a second, but Brother Branham makes this comment about those three areas. He talks about the stages of grace that we go through. So water, blood, and Spirit, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Different stages, so they agree in one. Do we understand? Yeah. So he says you can have justification or sanctification. Let me back up here. So you can have justification without sanctification or the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Do you understand? So as you move forward, but if you go to the Holy Ghost, you have justification, sanctification. Do you understand what I'm saying? So some people are in the first stage, some people second, some people are in the third. Do we understand? Okay. Acts 1, verse 8. Okay, "But you shall receive power." I'm going to skip over that. Acts 2, 38. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." So in there, those scriptures, there is a three stages of grace. So we turn around and God begins to take us. We hear the word and then God turns us around and then he begins to cleanse us and then eventually receive the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right? And so it is a promise. So you follow the word, you obey the word, and eventually you will receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The scripture says the Holy Ghost is for them that obey him, right? Okay, now, tabernacle as a type of the believer's journey. How many believes that the tabernacle in type shows the believer's journey? So now, in the message 1955, Fellowship, Brother Random makes a statement, and that whole thing in the tabernacle, in the justification under the court, sanctification at the altar, the Holy Spirit behind the veil, it moved in and let down all a picture of Christ. Now he says this in Why People Are Tossed About, 1956. Now what was the first thing? The courts represented justification. Outside there was where the people come in, all of Israel. No other but a circumcised Israelite could come into those courts. They defile it. You remember when Paul brought Timothy to the temple and said, they have polluted this holy place by bringing a Gentile in. The courts, they must be absolutely justified people. Justified means as if you didn't do it, right? You're made right. Regenerated men and women who's accepted God and got eternal life dwelling in them, they must be that to be in the court. And now, after they left that second court sanctification, they entered into the consecrated life, entered into the presence of God, and while they were in there, there's where they had all these glorious things. So notice he says, after they left the second court sanctification, so there was a first court, there was a second court. After that, then they entered into the presence of God. Amen. Okay? So can you see the picture there? Okay. I want you to notice another thing about this, a peculiar of the light the believer walks in when he's in Christ, peculiarity of it. Now, the three courts, the justified man out here, he walks by daylight. Someday he has gloomy days. You get it. Oh, I hope you see this. God bless you. Some days are gloomy. Some days you do not know whether it's really worthwhile to serve God or not. You're walking in the outer court. Sure, you're eating manna. Sure, you are a believer. Sure, you have eternal life. Sure, if you die, you go to heaven, truly, but what kind of a life are you living? So you have something in your heart, but the life is what you're questioning right now. Every day you get out here, oh, I got my dandruff up today. I told them about it. I cussed them out. I couldn't help it. God, forgive me. So does it mean that he doesn't believe in Jesus? No, but he's in the outer court. Well, he comes into the court. Now what's in there? There's seven. Now we're talking about, okay, so he came into the court. He went to the sacrifice. I'm skipping a little bit. Then he comes into the tabernacle, right? Well, he comes into the court. That's what's in there. There's seven golden candlesticks. We can work on that feedback there. There's seven golden candlesticks by that holy place, and it's giving light. The candlesticks are giving light. That's to the man who quits his drinking, quits his smoking, quits lying, quits stealing, treats his neighbor right, good to his wife or good to her husband, the same way man or woman, the believer. He's come into a place where he's quit all his meanness, which is through the blood with sanctification. He's called to a new life, and he walks in there. So now he's in here. He's been cleaned up and everything. Now he's in the tabernacle itself. He don't have to walk by the light out there, talking about the outside. He's got a better light. He's walking by the light of seven golden candlesticks, which is burning olive oil, and the olive oil was representing the Holy Spirit. The fire was a baptism, which baptized you. You're even baptized out in there with the Holy Spirit, but you're not hid away yet. You're not behind the veil, okay? So the tabernacle represented the walks of the believer, so we got to pay attention to all these different phases. So he's not there yet, but he has the oil, he has the fire, but he's not where he needs to be, right? And so when we're talking about in there, that's in the Shekinah glory, shut in with God, where it's you and God alone, okay? So, but there is the baptism. There is a fire. Do you understand what I'm saying? Okay. But the man who walks beyond that, he goes in when the world is shut off, when the veil drops around him, down under the locking of the wings of the cherubim, the great Shekinah glory hung under there. It never got dim. It never went out. Okay, switching on, the wilderness, a type of the believer's journey. How many believe the wilderness journey was a type of the believer's journey as well? Okay, I'm trying to bring up these types so you can see the pattern. And then, you know, sometimes we get caught with words, and so sometimes we mix things up a little bit. But when we look at the types, and it draws a clearer picture. Now, he says here in the wilderness, a type of the believer's journey. The message, 1960, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Many people refer to the promised land to the millennium. It is not. The promised land had wars and killings. The millennium won't have any wars or killings. It referred to the Holy Spirit, the battlegrounds. Justification, they left Egypt. There's three stages of their journey. They left Egypt under justification, believing the word. They separated themselves from the Egyptians and come out. They crossed the Red Sea and killed the things behind them, which was sanctification through the blood that kills all human desires of evil. Second stage of the journey. But the third stage was when they crossed Jordan into the promised land where their inheritance lay. Their inheritance never laid in Egypt, though God blessed them in Egypt. So is that very clear? It's very distinct stages. You're living in a house, soul, body, and spirit. That's the way God lived in Jesus Christ, both soul, body, and spirit. Not me that doeth the works, the Father dwelleth in me. See, you see? And in this tabernacle completion, and it was all through the age of Luther, through justification, through the age of Wesley, through sanctification, and this latter day with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, perfecting his church in three stages of the journey. Okay, moving on to another type here. Abraham's journey. How many believes Abraham's journey was a type of the believer's journey? Okay. Now in the message, Abraham and his seed after him, 1961. Now, and then notice, as soon as Abraham believed God by justification, believing on the Lord, we're justified. So justification, when we believe on the Lord Jesus, that takes us in the first area. Immediately God called Abraham to total separation from all unbelief. That's the way he done you. Separate yourself from your kindred, from your all your associates, come out of the pool room, come out of the dance hall, come away from the things of the world. God calls for a total separation to Abraham's seed because that's what he called Abraham. So if your heart is in there, so you're still clinging on those things, you're not totally separated. But God calls not just Abraham, but each one of us from total separation. So if you feel like you're struggling there, there's where you're at right there. So you've got to cut it off and totally separate. Now, he says here in the 15th chapter of Genesis, Abraham began to wonder, how will I ever know these things? And God confirmed the covenant to him. He gave him a confirmation of the covenant. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, we find that out. When he completely separated himself, Lot went down into Sodom, and the old man died, and Abraham separated himself and God alone. Then God began to speak to him. So when we cut those things off, then God begins to move on our life. Now listen close, all of you. Now there Abraham in Genesis 1 was justified by faith. Now here comes in your Wesley, John Wesley doctrine. Here comes in your sanctification or your confirmation of the covenant. Now let's go a little further. What did he do? Justification then by faith, by believing. Justification to his seed, is that right? Through Martin Luther. Sanctification by the blood, is that right? Sanctification to his church by John Wesley. Now at Abraham's 100 years old. So he's going to make these distinct phases of his life. He's saying, turn the next page in your Bible, 17th chapter. See, if God keeps his word, Abraham's an old man. He's 100 years old. He was lacking 1 year. He was 99. And the Lord appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai, the bosom. Now, there's a significance with that, of El Shaddai. Excuse me, young ladies, my sisters. El comes from the word a strong one. Shad means breast. Shaddai means breasted. God, he said, I am Almighty God. But look, instead of Abraham getting weaker, are you ready? Instead of Abraham getting weaker when he seen it didn't happen, that means the promised son arrived. The Bible said he got stronger. How did he get stronger? Well, he says this, now watch Abraham drawing, nourishing, and all the strength of God, what? Bringing in strength to get ready to have this child at 100 years old. So remember when he was called out in Genesis chapter 12, that was a calling. That was justification. Then he says in chapter 15, when he confirmed the covenant, that was sanctification. And now he's going into verse chapter 17, talking about how God was the breasted one, El Shaddai, nourishing him, and he's going to refer that to the Holy Ghost. If you listen here for a second, not only is he the breasted one, but he's a satisfier. The little baby, when it's sick and real sick, the mother takes it up to her breast and it begins to nurse her strength into the sick baby. And while it's getting well, it's satisfied. So is a real man that's got a hold of God and nursing in the Holy Spirit, knowing that he's satisfied that God's going to make every word come to pass. So in El Shaddai, in Genesis 17, the breasted one, giving strength. And so Abraham is getting stronger because of the nourishment that's coming straight from God into Abraham, right? And so when we see that, when in John, the book of John, the Holy Ghost, which is the comforter. Now he says, El Shaddai, the breasted one, satisfied him. And John talks about the Holy Ghost being the comforter. So you see the ties together there. Now, just see what he done to Abraham. Justification to his church, his seed. Sanctification through Wesley, that great messenger. Sanctification too. Pentecost through there. Pentecost through here. See, Pentecost, nursing, bringing. How many understands that when he was El Shaddai, that he gave his own strength into Abraham? He never done nothing but made him promises. Promises, but here he's emptying himself out into Abraham. All that God was, he poured into Christ. All that Christ was, he poured into the church. He says he's emptying himself out into Abraham, literally. How many knows that? That was the Holy Ghost. Justification is what you believe. Sanctification is what the blood did for you. You're sanctified by believing. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it is the person of the Holy Ghost himself. Oh, the person, not imagination, not some kind of psychology, but the person of the Holy Ghost. So are we all together? Are we all understanding here? Does it stop there? No, it doesn't. Here's where he goes. Notice he placed his son, the same thing he'd done with Abraham. He called Abraham out. No, now listen, now I want you to put on your spiritual understanding and keep quiet just a moment. He called Abraham out, and at the end of 17th chapter, in the 18th or the 18th chapter rather, he called him out and made a placing to him. And he changed his name to Abraham. So there is the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then there is a placing of the Son. And so now Abraham is positioned to have the Son because he's become mature. And now God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. He changed Sarah's name from Sarai to Sarah. Now he says, and what did he do to Abraham? He gave him part of his name from Abram to Abraham, Elohim, because he too was a father, placed him positionally, give him a name, Abraham, from Abram to Abraham, Elohim, Abraham. So you and I, that's not the last stage is receiving the Holy Ghost, but we need to be placed as sons and daughters of God. Now, is there anything left in the journey? I want you to know that was just before the destruction, now before the promise was fulfilled. Watch just a moment now. And he made him, placed his name now, positionally placed him, called him through justification, sanctification, pouring into him as El Shaddai, the Holy Spirit, now placing and giving a part of him, Elohim, a small Elohim, a man was born to be a God. So when you're placed positionally, then it's like the Mount Transfiguration, hear ye him. God placed Jesus as a son, and now your word is as good as God's word, right? Born to be a God, little g. Okay, let me see if I can... Okay, now he says, see what kind of a sign the elected church got. See what kind of a sign Billy Graham's giving. See what's in there in the elected church. It's God in your flesh manifesting. And didn't Jesus say, as it was written in the days of Sodom, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Do you see it now? Now we're passing justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, the placing of the gifts of the Son in the church. Now it's God manifesting himself for that sign. And I ask any Bible reader to show me one more sign he done before after that. And we know what that sign is. It was Sarah behind the tent and the Spirit of God discerning, right? So that is the last sign. Now, let's just a little piece further. He said, she's in the tent behind you. And I'm going to cut to the chase here, but he says, after that sign, now look, you know what he'd done to Sarah and Abraham. Now listen real quiet. He changed them back to a young man and woman. I'll prove he did. Now listen close. I'm not going to read further, but you see how God has brought us from different stages of our life, from coming out of sin, then cleansing us, then giving us a baptism of the Holy Ghost, placing us as son. The sign has to be in this somewhere, the discernment. And then the changing of the body. So all those stages you can see in Abraham's walk. So there is a type there. Now, in the scripture that we read just a little bit before in Ezekiel, remember it says, in that day, take out your old stony, old fleshy stony heart, and I will give you a new spirit, and I'll put my spirit in you. 1956, the intervale. Now, a lot of people, even you Pentecostal people, a lot of times gets mistaken in that you get a new spirit that's not God's spirit. That's you. That isn't God. I know you've heard this before, but I'm trying to, this, remember, there were, in the scriptures, it is a very minority that received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so the devil tries to trick in this whole area right here. He tries to make you think you have it when you don't have it. He makes you think you don't have it when you have it. And he's trying to confuse, because this is the area where he fights. In the scripture, Stephen says, you know, you uncircumcised in heart, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. And so that's what the devil has done from time and time again through the ages. You understand? So now he says here, now a lot of people, okay, that isn't God. You get a little happy because you got a new spirit and you jump up and down, run around over the floor maybe and shout a little bit and speak with tongues and run around a little bit and think you got the Holy Ghost. Remember, this happens before you actually receive the Holy Ghost. That's not it. That's a new spirit God gave you. That's you. Then after he gave you your spirit, then he said, I'll put my spirit. That's what's the matter with the missed meal cramps you got today. That's right. That's the reason you can't get nowhere with God. Notice you put a new spirit. God has to give you a new spirit, or you couldn't even get along with him. So you have a new nature after you give your heart to the Lord. Then God begins to change you, begins to clean you up, but he gives you a new nature, and you feel happy, and you jump around. And how many has felt that when you've got salvation and different things? The burden's been lifted, and you're very happy, and you're joyful. And that's a new spirit, and there's nothing wrong with that, because that's part of the process. But it's not where we need to be. And so he gives us a new spirit so that God can cleanse us and change us. He changes our heart in different things because he's got to get everything in position so he can step in there. He's not just going to step into anything. He's got to get it all prepared so he can step in there. Don't get it confused with God's spirit. It's not. It's your new spirit. So you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. Amen. Because you and your condition never get along. You can't get along with your wife. You can't get along with your husband, can't get along with your neighbor. How are you ever going to get along with God? So he has to give you a new spirit for you can get along with him. Now, as you're thinking about like all these different things going on and as you're moving, remember Aaron was walking from the east over to the west, and he was constantly walking there. And as he was walking, then he was progressing from each stage. Now, Brother Branham makes a statement that if you stop somewhere and you leave God and you go away and then you come back, you're going to have to go back where you left him. And then you go. So what I'm saying is, notice he doesn't talk about anywhere in here time, right? So it's different for each individual based on where you are and different things. And sometimes we get off track in that those steps going over to here. Sometimes we backslide. Sometimes something happens where we're not continually walking forward in the Lord. How many knows what it feels like when, you know, you feel like you're growing in the Lord and when you're stagnant? Amen. So when you're stagnant, it's like you stop. But when you continue growing, then you're moving forward and God's dealing with you and continue to help you grow and you're continuing to mature. Now, I'll put a new spirit in them and I'll put my spirit in them. He said, after he give you a new spirit, that's you. Don't get confused. Okay. It's your new spirit so you can get along with the Holy Spirit if he ever gives it to you. Okay. So he has to give you. Okay. So he puts a new spirit in you and then he puts his spirit in you, gives you a new spirit, a new outlook, a new faith. Then he puts his Holy Spirit in you. Notice back there in the beginning when that same manna that fell out here on the ground, every day the people eat it. But notice those people who eat that manna would get hungry before 9 o'clock. But it was different when they got inside. Okay. Now, I'm going to read a few things that Brother Branham talks about regarding the new birth and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so keep those scriptures in mind as we're talking about it. Now, I'm going to mention something here. So I know some in here have been along further than others, but I want to read this here. So in the unveiling of God, Brother Rand mentions this. He says, after you read the scripture, may the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. Now my subject this morning, I trust that God will reveal this. And each time, if you who take the tapes and listen, and I hope and trust that you have had a spiritual understanding of what that God has been trying to get over to the church without saying it right out. See, it's a thing. Sometimes we have to say things in such a way that it might thin down. It might bring some to go out. Now, that's scriptural, okay? So the word offends some, and then some will just stay there no matter what. And that's the elect. Some to leave and some to ponder over. Okay, it says, might bring some to go out, some to leave, and some to ponder over. But that's done purposely. It must be done that way. Then it might be that some would say, you mean God would purposely do a thing like that? He certainly did. He does yet. Don't let that stumble you. He said one day when he had thousands around him, he said, except you eat of the flesh of the Son of God or Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. What kind of a statement do you think that a medical doctor or nurse or any fine intellectual person would think of a statement like that? That for a man that had a ministry like he had. So he said that for a purpose. And so you'll run into things in the message and it will trip some people and cause some people to leave. But those, I believe, who have the predestinated seed of God, they'll stay right with it. They may not understand it, but they stay right with it. They, you know, it's like Peter said, I don't get it, but, you know, I know you have the words of life. You know, he's staying right there. Something's holding him there. Now, the new birth, 1954. When a man is born again, he's three elements that he has to go through: water, blood, spirit. Justification by faith, believing on the Lord, sanctification, that life being cleansed up, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Notice, justification by faith, sanctification through the blood, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When a baby is born, let me go back and read this. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, not three works of grace, one grace. Notice, justification by faith, sanctification through the blood, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When a baby is born, water, blood, and spirit. When a baby is born, new baby in heaven, he comes through water, blood, and spirit. The natural types of spiritual. Everything on the earth. And the seed is not air with the shug, 1965. Brother Rand makes a statement. Now we understand also that God is perfected in threes. Now God is perfected in threes. Grace is 5-7 is completion like the world. God is perfected in Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's the perfection of the Godhead. All one God in three manifestations of three attributes of one office or three offices in one Godhead. Now there is also three in perfection of the steps of grace to the church. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, that consists of the new birth. So when you say, you know, I believe, well, that's part of the new birth. You understand? Well, you see, I believed and I'm sanctified. Well, that's part of the new birth. All three together, well, that's the new birth. You understand? So you got to look at the scriptures and look at the type. So he's typing it out in the birth. And so it's got to be water, blood, and spirit. And so some people take portions of that and say that is the new birth, but you got to take the whole thing. So now, in the message, you must be born again. So Brother Branham makes this statement in paragraph 35, and I don't want you to be confused. Just listen to it and just hold it. He says, and believe can, so he says, I suppose maybe just a little bit different, that's what he's talking about, how he teaches, from what the regular church teaches. I teach and believe can sufficiently prove by the scripture that you're born of the Spirit and then baptized into the body by the Holy Spirit. Let that simmer there. Okay. Makes a statement. I'm just going to pass through a few things, and I got to just get to the end. But the scripture is not a... So you got to apply the scripture in the right place. Now he says, now to approach this birth, there is an approach to it. And B, to approach this birth, you have to go through a process. Just like anything that lives against got to die first. And so I'm going to cut to the chase. And here in this message, he goes, you know, to be born again, there must be a death. And so when you're going through this process and when you get to the altar, that is where your sacrifice is. Not only is Jesus on there, but your sacrifice is there as well. And so when God fully accepts that sacrifice, then he consumes it. And so, therefore, to be born again, there has to be a death. You had the old life, now you have the new. But that old life has to be consumed, you understand? So you can't hold on to the old things. It's got to be totally dead and consumed. And then you're going into the next stage, to be born of the Spirit of God. Okay, I'm skipping through all this stuff just so because of time. So now he says, now you're ready for life. You're ready to start now. Now you're born anew, born in the family of God with a new parent. Yes, sir, your tutors used to be. Now you got tutors, that is. Now you got a new parent. You can't be born without having a parent. So who's your parent? The Lord Jesus. So if you're born in the brotherhood of a church, that's what you got. If you're born in a creed, there you are. But if you're born in God, conceived in his word, you got a new parent. That's God, ready to make his word known among us with you, speak it through you. Oh, a new parent. That parent is God. He's ready to take his word now that he's already spoke and lay it in you and make it to come to life. See, now you have your training now. So you're going through child training. So you're a baby, and now you've got to mature. And so you're not an adult, and so you've got to develop. You don't understand a lot of things, but you're on your road to that. But you're now you have a different parent. Okay. So he says this. You say, what about the Holy Ghost, Brother Branham? The Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body for service, but you believe unto eternal life. He that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life. See, then you're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body for manifestations of the gifts and so forth, but you believe to eternal life. He that believeth has eternal life. And when you believe is when you're dead and are born, regenerated, a new creature. All right, so you can see the blending that takes place here. So when you're believing in your heart, truly, when you see the revelation, I'm going to have to cut through, but in Christ the Mystery of God, he says, the new birth is a revelation personally to you. So you believe that, and you have that revelation in your heart, and it takes you through, because it's all faith in Jesus Christ as you're moving through, right? And so the whole birth process goes through justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're born anew. new creature. But if you're born again, you're alive with Christ and you're affectionate on things above. Okay. He warns about taking shortcuts, saying that I'm saved today and preach tomorrow. And we know there's a growth process in this all, and we've just got to wait on the Lord for each stage as he brings it over to us. Because if you look in the pattern, when, remember, here's death again, as they crossed over Jordan, which is death, right? And then they moved into the promise, which is the Holy Ghost, into Canaan, and where they accepted all the promises, and they started to take on those promises one by one, defeating the enemy. The enemy is trying to say, no, you can't have healing. Oh, yes, I can. And then you move on and you take this ground. I've got this promise. I got this promise. Yeah, the promise says I can be healed by the laying of hands by the elders, anointing my head with oil. I'm healed. And so I got that promise and I'm moving in. But you notice that after they began to move in there with the victory, then Joshua said, okay, now we're going to place you in your different positions. And so if you look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about baptizing into the body of Christ. So we're all baptized in one spirit into the body of Christ. And he talks about the different, the arms, the legs, and different things. And because everybody has a different position. Now he's placing you into a position to be a ministering spirit. So when you're born, you're a baby. You can't do a lot. You can't help the body very much. You just got to be fed, right? And there's a portion of your journey that you just have to be fed, and you need to grow, and you need to be able to stand, and you need to get muscles on your arms and things like that. But at a certain point, then you're ready to take your position. You know God has revealed to you what your position is. You have a gift in your life. Everybody that's a part of the body of Christ has a gift, and that gift becomes into manifestation. It starts to come because Brother Mike, he did not become a preacher overnight. And so there was a baptism, and then there was a maturity, and then God called him and he began to take his position to help the body of Christ. And so each one of us has that particular role. But we're moving into maturity. Then we take the position. Now we're growing, and then we can be placed as sons. And then the next thing is the body change. Okay. I trust it. Okay, one more thing here is all I have time for. And then if anybody has questions, please see me after service, call me or whatever, and then we can go through this a little bit more. The last thing I want to get to here is, okay, now I want you to take a look at this. So remember the phases going into. So justification, take a look at the tabernacle, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and we know that we're ultimately trying to go here. Now, we know that in the stature of a perfect man, he talks about the maturity. Remember, he says, in the beginning, you're born again, and then you begin to take on these virtues, and then when you become to maturity, then he seals you, okay? Now, he says, he brought his church up the way, he's bringing his people. Then Peter says, first things, faith, virtue, knowledge, and he goes on. And then the love of God, the Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost. So there is a final stage that he's talking about. Don't get mixed up with the words, but look at the progression that's happening, okay? So he seals you. What is that cap of the pyramid? It's called the Great Seal, right? Listen to this. Let's all stand here. In the masterpiece, 1964. So, Brother Branham makes a statement. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So you remember the seven golden candlesticks are in this part of the tabernacle, right? And remember how Brother Branham likens the pyramid to the church ages, right? And we know the church ages are in the candles, right? And we know that in there is the partial light. But when you go into the Shekinah glory, that is Christ himself in there, right? And you're shut in with God. The third pole, as Brother Branham would say. So he says, Justification made way for sanctification. Sanctification made way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection. So, this happened as Brother Branham was getting more and more mature. He began to talk more and more about the perfection. If you remember, he said, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, perfection, and Joseph. So I just let that sit there and let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for all that you've done and given to us. And Lord, I trust that I have yielded myself, O Lord, properly to the word and to your spirit, O Father. And Lord Jesus, I ask for your grace, O Lord, in spite of me and who I am and my mistakes and failures, O Lord, to take the words, O Lord, and make it and place it, O Lord, correctly in the hearts of the people. O Lord, Lord Jesus, we ask that you would just help us as we continue on in the grace of God. And Lord Jesus, bless each one and bless the service, the song service, the preaching of the word. We ask all this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.